Run base.
And excuse me. Well,
let's take it from where we got up to yesterday, which is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th line down. Kalosos Rabbi Shmuel. The daughter of Rabbi Shmuel, Mianua. She repudiated marriage, even though her son was on her shoulder. Meaning she was already obviously an adult, she had a kid at that time. Or we assume she was an adult. So Rabbi Chisra named Rabbi Vohu, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael, they all said the same thing. What's that? Tani, we learned, Aremosai Habas Mimainis, at what age can a daughter repudiate a marriage? Ad Shetavi Shtei Saros, until she has two hairs, which is right around 12 years old. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yomer, Ad Sheyar Be'ashochon, until she has more dark than light. Meaning that the area around her private parts is already more dark
with black hair
than white with her flesh. Rabbi Shimon Omer Achet Dispashet Akaf, until the black not just the majority, but it extends beyond the kind of to the top of where she has an opening down there. She's on top of that. It extends beyond it. I'm not sure exactly what the kaf means, but I assume it's like a letter kaf inverted. In other words, it goes around the entire area. Okay, something like that. So Rabbi Zion, Rabbi Chiyah, Hashem, Hashem, and Lodger said, and even more than that, actually, Tisbashi, the kaf, you need it to surround, belt the entire area. The Ashokha Rabbi Alam should be more dark than white.
So,
Yusoshis, that's the outer limit as to when you can do mute. Okay? Rabbi Vo B'Shem, Rabbi Von, Rabbi L'Shem, Rabbi Yoshi said, how long can Rabbi Yudha then? It's until you have more black than white. Rabbi Yoshim, Levi Yomar, how long can Rabbi Yudha also? That's still you have more dark than white. Asa Uvdo Kum Rabbi Asa, case came in front of Rabbi Asa, Omar, and he said, I don't have a heter. For me, when she raised an adult, when she has two hairs. However, you guys go, Azul Gabi Rabbi Avo. Go to, skip. Yeah, Azul Gabi Avo. Go to Avo. Easily, Ufa, he has a tradition, look, Rabbi, like Rabbi, that looks like Rabbi. On a lesson of Farah Rabbiuda, we don't have such a tradition. Rabbi China Amar Alok Rabbiuda as well, which means it's a little bit older than 12. The Rabbi Yochum at Tziporaya, Rabbi Yochum said to the people in Tzipori, Atu Rabbi Shem Rabbi Chanin Alok Rabbiuda. You guys want to say name Rabbi China Alok Rabbiuda? The lazy came. It's not true. Alok Zayk Rabbiuda. My Kedunz, what's the conclusion of this? Chevraya. B'shem, Rabbi Chanina said, the group said a name, Rabbi Chanina, Mod Rabbi Yudha Shim Nivalo Mishavir Shtei Saros. Rabbi Yudha could see that if she had relations with her husband, after she had got two hairs, that Eina Shani Cholomayin, she could no longer do Miyu. Al Daiti to Rabbi Zira, now that's Rabbi Zira B'shem Rabbi Chanina said, Rabbi Zira Rabbi Chanina said, Mod Rabbi Zira Yudha, Rabbi Yudha could teach him Yiskacha Mishavir Shtei Saros, that she had a marriage after she got two heirs, Shani Cholomayin, that she could not do Miyun. Now that's a very basic difference. The two different opinions here. One is that after she has relations once with her husband, after she becomes an adult, she can't do Miyun. The other is if she had a second marriage performed with her husband after she became an adult, then she can't get Miyun. She can't do Miyun anymore. Right?
It's not an age,
physical maturity.
Physical
maturity
has to do with renewing the state of marriage after she's an adult.
It's not necessarily even maturity, quite this, but renewing the state of marriage either by new relations or by having a new marriage ceremony. Okay? So at that point, Miyun can no longer be done. So, it says here, Al Daitin the Chavraya. That's Rabbi Zira.
That if she has a marriage before and once she gets two hairs, then she can no longer do miun, right? But if the marriage was before she was old, which of course don't, which and then she had relations even after she got two hairs, since the new marriage is not performed, she can still do miun. Nicho, according to him, and so we understand how Rabbi Shmuel's daughter could have a child on her shoulder and still do miun. Because it means that even if you had, she had relations after she became an adult, as long as she didn't have a second marriage ceremony, she could still repudiate the original marriage. So she could have given birth and still repudiate the marriage anyway, right? However, al-Daitin the Chavraya, according to the Chabura, who said, Inu Nomi, who said, Nivela Mishiv, once there's Bia, once she had relations Mishiv, Yishtei Saras, the time she's an adult, Yichol, she can no longer do Miun. So the only time you do miun is if you had all your relations before you got to have two hairs, right? When you're still gonna do a minor. Well, if that's the case, how could Rabbi Shmuel's daughter still been alive in order to do miun? In other words, it means she wasn't given birth
when she was a ketana. When she was
a minor, and there's no such thing. The daughter of Rabbi Shmuel, Amos Ibravi older, when did she get pregnant and give birth? Actually, Vishti Saros, you want to say it's before she had two hairs, and that's why she could do miun even after she got two hairs and had a kid on her shoulder because she didn't have any bia, she didn't have any relations after she became an adult. So it says the Gemara of Chayi, under such circumstances, does she survive? Lokein Amar, Rabbi Difa. Then Rabbi Diva is saying, Rabbi Yonah is saying, B'shem Yavon, name Rabbi Elo, excuse me. Next word, Isa, is superfluous. Ibra v'yoda, shlo evia, shtei zahar. So if a woman gets pregnant and gives birth before she has two heirs, he ubna mesib. She and the kid, they both die because they're not viable. M'shevia, shtei zahar, if she already got two heirs, he ubna mesib, chayim. Then they can both survive. Now, she gave pregnant before growing two hairs. The yolda mishavir shtei saros and gave birth after bringing giving two hairs. He chayob no meso. She could survive, but her kid will die. So that's the case. Question is, where do we have a case where Rabbi Shmuel's daughter-in-law could come with a kid on her back and still do miun, right? L'chora, in order for the kid to be viable, the bia must have been done after she was an adult. If bia is done after she was an adult, and she no longer had the right to be mine anymore. So it says Gemara, Maikadun, how should we conclude this? So it says Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel holds, it's a bar, which is the brand that says, should be Kir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Yehuda, Achi Arba Shochar. That you should still do miun until the majority of the area is dark. So therefore, it says, she can still do miun even if she has a kid. Because she has a kid, or she might have a kid right when she became an adult, and later on she gets the Arba Shochar Alokhar. Okay? Until she has more black than white. Now, says Gemara, nevertheless, to Rabbi Shimon, and he also has all like Rabbi Shimon, that Altanai Kiddush HaRishon Boa.
I never been shown before. Okay.
okay, I'm making a mistake. The way we read it is like this: Rabbi Shmuel Krabi Yehuda Shiarve Shachar, Rabbi Shmuel Ilos or Krabi Yehuda, that you can do Minyan until the black part it expands, or he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who says Achit Ispashit Akaf, which means until there's even more growth there. So it was like one of those two Amor, one of those two Tanoi. Now, says Gemara, Altnai Kedusha Rishonim, Ba. And furthermore, whatever relations they have, they have relations until their relations are on the condition of the first marriage. Because again, in order to be able to have a viable child and survive, the Bia has to take place after she became an adult. So the Chor of the Bia took place after she became an adult, so she already is out of meals. Right? So that's what you say. It's going to grab a Shimon that until such time as he actually is. Like Rabbi Shimon, even according to Rabbi Shimon, well, according to both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who say that the Bia when she's an adult, we have to say that even though there's a Bia after she was an adult, the Bia was out tonight, Kiddushin Rishonim. So until he actually does an act of marriage by giving her a ring or something like that, all the Bias he did before that, they're not Bias nuls, they're not licentious because they were done in the context of rabbinic marriage. But they're all done with the intent of the first marriage, and therefore, even if she's after she's bas mitzvah, so these bios are still being done on the intent of the first marriage, now in the intent of effecting a new kiddushin. So that's why she still remains a kiddushin to rabbana.
But the fact that she has a child from the bia from the first kiddushin, then she can still do it.
Right.
She didn't have a second.
Right.
Even if she has a second child. Well, I guess you can't squeeze that into the amount of time, right? Okay, so name it. So it says the Gemara, Al Daite, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, don't really see money matter over totally. According to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, it has to do with Simonim, with pure age. Al Daite, Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, do Omar Shiyoitz and Makinan Acher. You have to add another Kinyan. So if that's the case, say, Elam Mehata Filu Gedailah. As long as he never made another Kiddushin, she should be continuously be able to be mine, even when she's 47. Right. Says more now. No, it does make sense. Or maybe it says, the Kenyan, it's taka true. Why can't she do Mune anymore after she is fully matured physically? So daughters of Israel should not be licentious because they'll always have their marriages retroactively revoked, right, if they were married off by the brother or sister. So then we made a cutoff age at the age of Bas Mitzvah or Bar Mitzvah. Says Mara, Asya Uvda, a case came Kum Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, Yipotku Dadea. To see if she's too old to do meal, let's check how developed her breasts are. So says the Gemara, now the Gemara, let's skip down a couple lines and come back. Let's cut and paste here. The Shari Torah Sutro does this. So going to the fifth line. First word of line.
That's really irrelevant. I mean, we haven't
talked about it. We're always going to click on that. Mary Abba didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, don't do a Maisa to determine what her status is until we check her private parts? You know, what does her Dadim have to do with it? So, other Tamer Rabbi Sochazman. That's only if we're not sure if we reach 12 and a half yet. So then we have to check her private parts to see where she's holding, right? However, Aval Achazman Oitza Maisa, but after time is over, you don't have to check down below. In other words, if you could tell, if you look at her breast and they see they're fully formed, they know she's already past 12 and a half and she can't be in mine anymore. I think it's more for sneeze. I think it's a better place to look. I mean, neither of them are great, but it's a better place to look in order to check if she's an adult or not. Okay, it says the Gemara, going back to what we skipped. Vudan Rakhir Vishuv and Levi. And it's like Rabbi Shimon Levi, who said, there's no gap between the days in which she's a Nara and the day in which she's a Bogeret, only 6 months. And therefore, these 6 months are determined by the growth of her body, and you can tell that her body's grown into womanhood already by looking at other parts as well. However, in our case over here, means that in the case of Simonim down below, right? We're checking her down below, and we're checking her during the time period before she reaches 12 and a half, right? Here, I'm not sure if the majority is black or not. Kikufo, Kofo. I need to take a get. I require him to give a get because I'm not sure if there's a necessity to do Yimu Chalitza or not. So in that, we give a get, right? Rabba Shachar, and we'll give a get. If the majority is black, they do not have to give a get. Why is that? Because then it's clear that she's beyond the parsha, the tzara is beyond the parsha of Yibum in that case. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. Remember, we're talking about co-wives here. We're talking about co-wives, right? And that the one who's an erva should be able to make the co-wife muteres be Yibum, because she'll renounce her marriage, she'll repudiate. She's a young girl, she can still repudiate her marriage, right? So that's why you can't do that. Because, well, you can. But what we're saying is that if in doubt or not, so then we don't know if she can repudiate her marriage or not. So that's why she needs both chalitza and a get. What?
It's all right.
Well, either or. Once you do chalitza to one of them, that suffices.
The first wife is
Erva. She's the one we're talking, and the second wife wants to be Miyabin. So when the first wife is a complete Erva, we can't do Yibum, right? The first wife is a Chveis, well, they're not related. Not really, you can do even anyone you want, right? So let's say in this case you had a case where you're not sure if this woman can do mian or not, but you didn't mean it, right? So in that case it's a suffix. What are you supposed to do? I blundered. Not a big one, but we're not talking about Yibumas here. Talking about the husband of such a woman. What he has to do in order to divorce her.
Isn't she doing meal?
But the thing is, her meal might not be valid, because we don't know. Maybe her blood, she is more black than white. So what does he have to do in that case? Can't take her back, because she was mine already. What does he have to do? Give her a get. That's what it says here, right? Savi Rava Shachar, Savi Lo Rava Shachar, Kofa and Eli think it are required to give a get. Rava Shachar definitely has a majority of black hair, meaning that the kid is definitely adult at this time, so ain't no get, no get, beget. He doesn't have to touch the get, not because her meal works, on the contrary, because her meal definitely doesn't work, right? If her meal works misafi, then misafi has to give a get. But meal doesn't work at all, so then he doesn't have to give a get at all either. She's stopped. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Bezit Tzad Potter Tzoro say it. How do all these women exempt their Tzoro? So the first Mishnah. Haisa Bito Bito Achas Miko Arayas. If his daughter or anyone of these Arayas was Nesua Lachim, is married to his brother. Al-Shani, the second one. Because first already died. And now one of the
let's show you the case.
It's not as hard as it looks.
Reuben had it.
Reuben had a daughter, Rachel, right? So Rachel was married to her uncle Shimon. So it was Leah, right? So now Shimon died. Rachel is forbidden because she's a daughter, but Leah is also forbidden. So to Reuben, but Leah can go marry another brother. Leah can go marry another brother, Levi, right? So now, when Levi dies, now it's Leah also, because she was once a Torah of Shimon's daughter, and now she's a Torah of a Torah, and that's sufficient, right? That she's exempt from Yibum, right? And if then Dina, who was exempt from Yibum vis-a-vis Reuven, when it was Misyabemes by Yehuda, and then Yehuda dies, so then Dina is forbidden because she was once in Tzoras Bito, Koiv's daughter, and Tamar Nuiv is guilty by association, can't marry Reuven either. Is that all clear? Okay. Rachel was Reuven's daughter. Rachel went and married her uncle Shimon. Shimon had a co-wife later. Shimon dies. Rachel can't marry Reuven because to the father, right? Leah can't marry Reuven because Leah is a co-wife to Rachel. Okay, but Leah can still go and do even to another brother, Levi. So could Rachel, for that matter, right? But the Kiddush is that even that now when Levi dies, Leah, even though she's not directly associated to Reuven, but since she once was a co-wife with Rachel, she offers her own co-wife as well, not just herself, right? And the same thing down the line, right? But that's only vis-a-vis Reuven, not vis-a-vis Yehuda. Let's say Levi dies, so then either Dina or Leah can go marry Yehuda, right? But if the one who if Yehuda dies, so then in this case, who was it? Dina still remains also, right? But Tamar also becomes also because she's the co-wife of somebody who was once in Zorah.
Always the next co-wife that's eligible to marry the brother, and not the previous co-wife.
Right.
It always goes down the line.
Zorah always progresses, right? Okay. That's what happens. So in any event, so it says the Mishnah further. Raisa Bito Achim Kol Raisa Eilun Nisul Achim was married to her brother. Belo Yisha Acheres, and he has another wife. Mesa Bito Nisgarsha. If his daughter dies or gets divorced, Chakach Meis Achim, and his brother dies, Taras Muteres in the Torah's permissible. Chol Eichel Lamayim Belo Miano. Any woman who could have been married or did not. Tarasa Khaletas Lomisha Memes of Torah does Khalitsa not evil because they don't know if the mitzvah applies or not, because it's something whether he did the mitzvah ready or not. Says Mishnah further.
No
Gomar. Right. The thing is, I actually looked in the wrong. I misread the last line. Sorry. In which case are the tzoras permissible? If his daughter or any one of these arayos is married to his brother, that is the case like this. Shimon's daughter Rachel married Reuven. Rachel. Before Reuven died, Rachel died. Rachel Shimon's daughter. So now, since at the time Reuven's death, his only wife is Leah, was not related to Shimon. Shimon can do evil, mom Leah. Okay. That's it. Says the base time of Torah. Meisohain. If they died, to say Mutoros.
Even though Leah, they were
Mutoros. Yeah, but not.
Why is she?
Because the time Reuven's death, they were no longer tzaras. Because they had already predeceased Reuven. Okay? So if his daughter, any one of these Arias, was the Sulach who was married to his brother, the low Isha Cheres, and he had another wife. Mesa Bito Nisgarsha, his daughter died or was divorced. Verchakach Mesachim, and then his brother died. Tzorasa Muteres, the Torah is permissible. Any woman who could have done Mina did not. Since Mir is only the Rabbanan thing, the whole marriage is only the Rabbanan, so the other Tzorah can't be Misya Bemet, because it's the Rabbanan, but she can't go free either, so therefore she has to do Chalitza. Okay? Says our Kini Masi, so this is the way to read our Mishnah. Any woman who could have done miyun and did not, umesa tarasa, and umesa and she died, tarasa chul, umesa and she died, tarasa chuletz is from Misya Bemis. But Torah gets chalitza not evil. Why do we say she died? Not what he's adding on to the Mishnah. I don't want to change it to woman died. I think you're trying to say even. That's what it means is like this. No, how can I mean that? One second. Yeah, but now we change it to death. Yeah. No, it says made the Mishnah made to Bito in his Garshov, his daughter dies of divorces. So the Torah's muteris to the Yava. Yeah, I know why. I'm not sure why. I'm trying to figure out.
The mission was that you didn't know.
What difference does it make? I guess the Kiddush is like this. But I might say that after this girl died without having the miyun, I should retroactively cancel her marriage and let the Torah be Misya Bemis, because her marriage is only Drabbanan anyway. So I would say, no, we give a status of already a significant marriage. Therefore, even if the Torah was the Erva died, the other Torah cannot marry the Yav Amir. She has to dafka get chalitza. Okay? Seems like an arbitrary change. I can't figure out why it's changed. Let's go. Shesharai is chamurus meil. The Kormei seems to say that it was done just for symmetry. Like you said, because all the other women in the Mishnah died, so let's kill her too. Okay. Shesharai is chamurus meil. The six arayas which are more severe than these. Inesheh nesuos la'acherin. They even are married to other people, Torah same, well, because they're married to other people, Torah same mutaris, their Torahs are permissible. Emo, meaning, if any of these arias was the second wife of a man, not related to you at all, right? And then the man thought you could marry the first wife, even though the second wife is also, but that's only a problem in the case of evil, not in any other case in Torah. Right? The two eyes, for example, the first case it gives is if your mother, Reuven's mother, Rachel, was married to Nachshon, and Nachshon had another wife, Chanah. So, of course, Reuven and Rachel can't get married, right? Because Rachel is Reuven's mother. But Chanah and Reuven can get married. Even though this is the Yibum situation, there would not be a permissible. It wouldn't work necessarily the same way. But in the case of instability of marriage, so this marriage will be permissible. Okay? So, and the Gemara is going to talk about specific Yibum. So what are these six relations? A Emo, your mother. A Aishah Soaviv, your father's wife. Vacho Soaviv, your father's sister. Achosam Yaviv, your sister from your father. Beisha Sochim and your brother's wife, Me'aviv from your father's side, Beisha Achyaviv and your grandfather's wife. These are all considered to be the six severe arayas. Ma, so Gemara asks, Ma inu it should be inu chamurus. What is their severity? Ha'achokores. The arayas mentioned first mishnah are kores as much as these, right? Alchemamzer. The mamzerus cases are the same in both. Malchamur, so are they more severe? She'enan yechol minos elachim shlobavera. These six women enumerated in our Mishnah, they cannot marry the two brothers unless an avera is going to be committed. But there's no scenario in which any of these people can marry two brothers and not commit an avera in the course of it, and therefore we didn't want to bring that as a case which that's why it's a severity. There was the 50 women in the first Mishnah can marry a brother, but these six women can't marry a brother because by definition they're out of the room. Okay? I'm not making myself clear, am I? No. I'm not making myself clear. Again, in this case, this is for first sample case. Rachel and Chanah are tzaras, right? They're married to Nachshon, who dies. It's inconceivable that Nachshon could be Reuven's brother. Because if Reuven was Nachshon's brother, then Rachel and Chanah cannot be both co-wives. Why is that? Yeah, because then Rachel's either going to be Nachshon's mother then, or Nachshon's stepmother. And he'd be forbidden to marry her. Is Reuven's mother. So if Nachshon were Reuven's brother, there'd be no permissible way for Nachshon to marry Rachel. Right, that's the point that Mara's making. Right? That these six arayas mentioned here in our Mishnah, from here on in the next six, they can, there's no conceivable case in which you can put them together as being married to two brothers. As opposed to the 50 arayas in the first Mishnah, it was conceivable to put them together as being married to two brothers.
But you don't have two brothers. You have a father and you have a stepson.
It's a stranger altogether.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Not a brother.
Right. That's exactly the case. That's why these. No, that's exactly the case. I'm not going to. See, that's what it says. Look at. Last line where Mal Chamurush any chulin linase laachim shlo ba'avera. You can't have a scenario which these arayas would marry a brother of somebody to whom they're arayas, unless it involves some avera. Not making sense? Well, you just say it yourself. They can't marry, wouldn't be able to marry two brothers. That's what I'll say. That's why they're chomer. But certain arise which you conceive of them being married to your brother. This is the first 15 in our Mishnah. But the last six over here, you can't conceive them being married to your brother. That's a severity. That there's no way these girls, they arise to you, they can't be married to your brother. Suppose the first 15, which are more situational. Okay? So it says in Maravitani, we learned, Rabbi Chia, in all these cases, if they can marry a brother without an avera, so the same towards minachalitza ibum, then the tzars, the co-wives in such cases, are exempt from chalitza ibum. But these cannot marry two brothers without an avera ensuing. Tyre Bechia said, "Ain tzara ela meach milvad." You know what? The whole concept of tzara only exists if it's your brother's wife. It's an interesting concept. Only your sister-in-law is a tzara. If somebody else has two wives other than your brother-in-law, so we don't call it a tzara. Okay? So, I'm Rabbi Yosef, it says, Masis Omer Kain. Our Mishnah seems to say that. It says, Inei Shehei Nesuos La'acherim Tzorosei Mutaros. It says, since they are married to others, their tzoras are mutar. I forgot what his proof is. Yeah, our Mishnah says that I'm Rabbi Yossi, a Cecil Mercade. The nation, our mission indicates this. Nation, the Suas Achim to the same Mutoros. When the Maya married to brothers, the Torahs are Mutor. So sadly, the whole operating concept of Torah only comes up when you have two brothers married to people and there's a levirate marriage, a Yibum mission. Otherwise, there's no concept of Toros. Okay, it says, Neshein Nesuas La'acherim, since they're married to other people, Toros Eimu Toros, and no Toros. There's no problem with co-wives. There's only problem with co-wives when you have two wives married to a brother of the person in question. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah boy. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question. Utei Tzora Minashuk. Somebody who has two wives, and one of them is Nerva. Yeah, somebody has two wives. By the way, I apologize for being so tired tonight. I don't have no idea what's happened to me. I think I'm demoralized because it was very... thought more people would show up tonight. Otherwise, I'd probably be more awake, but somewhat demoralizing. You want to sit in a few minutes to Yerushalmi, Bino, for old time's sake? There's Yerushalmi on the shelf. It'll help me wake up. They're back there, back on the shelf. Ashkocha brought this. Ran Zion on base. In Yavamas. Yavamas Zion on base. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah boy. We're in the fifth line down. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked a question. Utei Tzara Min Ashuk. Till now we've been saying, you know, the Tzara is a co-wife, right? It was a Tzara. So it says, so the Gemara stated principle, Rabbi Chia said, there's no discussion of Tzara, meaning a co-wife who's forbidden to undergo Yibum, except by brothers, by the area of Yibum itself. In other words, if Reuven has two wives, one of which is also to Shimon and one of which is permitted to Shimon, because of Erva, and Reuven dies, So just like the Tzara's Pasul, one Kohen is also the other Kohen is Pasul. Rabbi Yirmi asked, let there be a Tzara min Ashuk. Meaning, if Reuven and Shimon are not brothers, but Shimon has two wives, one of which is also to Reuven, who's not his brother, and the other is Mutter to Reuven, who's not his brother, and then Shimon dies, let's say Tzara's as well. So it's adding other Tzara's is a limited concept to Erva, to Yibum. That way you have two brothers, one of which is married to two wives, and one of which is Osir, and he dies, that the brother cannot take either one. How do you know it's on Yibum? Maybe it's in any case. If you have two wives, and I can't marry one of them, and then you die, so maybe I can't marry either one of your wives.
What difference does it make that it should be a concept of Erva?
What?
What difference does it make?
Because Rabbi Yirmi is by the truth is the Gemara doesn't explain Rabbi, but the Karmen Eda explains it pretty nice. It says there's a pasuk says a cryptic pasuk says Yishalach osa lo sikach litzror legalos ervosa, but rather sister in the feminist sense. In other words, when you have two wives who are sisters to each other, meaning they are, you know, in a sisterhood relationship, so then they should be tzoros, and if one is us, the other should be us as well. That's Rabbi Yirmi's question. Okay? So Rabbi Yirmi, boy...
That's the concept by elsewhere, that if one of the tzoros is us, or the other one should
right.
also be us or two.
Right. That's Rabbi Yirmi's question. Rabbi Yirmi, boy, v'tei tzorim in ashuk, on Rabbi Yossi, lo shmir Rabbi Yirmi. Rabbi Yirmi did not hear harder the tiny Rabbi Chia, that which Rabbi Chia said, that there's no tzara except from in case of two brothers. And lo shmila masnisa, he didn't hear our Mishnah either. Mishnah said, "Neshe nesuas la'achem tzarasim mutaros." Whenever they're married to other people other than a brother, the tzaras are mutar. So he never heard these two concepts. Mishnah's on the page before. Chazar mar, then Rabbi Yossi Renee said, "You know what? In the shmir." Rabbi Yirmi, of course, heard the Mishnah. And of course heard Rabbi Chia said. El kinish neshama mila makshila, but it's like a person who heard something, knows it exists, but asks a question on it anyway. And it's asking a question, the question is not answered. Why is there no tzara minashuk, even though the Mishnah says there isn't, he's asking why not. Now, the next question is a very cool lumdusha question. Rabbi Yirmi, a boy. Rabbi Yirmi asks questions follows. Habar la tzara. So he has relations with the tzara. Mao she chayv le mishum eshesach. Is he chayv on the tzara because of eshesach? That's a crazy question. Nobody knows what's flying here. Of course he's chayv on eshesach. If you have if your brother had two co-wives, one of which is aser, and the other is mutter, but since one is aser, they're both aser. So there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. You have relations with her. What do you transgress? Of course you transgress Eshesach. You're having relations with your brother's wife, Shalom Mokum Yibu. There's no answer for that. So what's Rabbi Yirmi's question? It's explicit psukim, right? It's bullshit. Of course you're not allowed to. There's no Eshesach. There's Eshesach. Right?
Maybe if the guy died?
He's still alive. Is he still alive?
No, he's dead. No. Women have relations with Shimon, his brother's wife, after Shimon's demise. However, Shimon's other wife was, let's say, Reuven's daughter or Reuven's mother-in-law, so therefore they're both ushered to. So nevertheless, Rabbi Yirmi is asking whether there's a concept of Eshesach here or not. Okay? It's a very, very strange question. And Rabbi Yirmi says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yirmi, Ilu Efshar L'Tzara below Eshesach Yos. It was possible to conceive of the whole concept of Tzara without it being a brother's wife, that would be possible. But Efshar L'Eshesach below Tzara, is it possible to have an Eshesach without the concept of Tzara? Efshar L'Tzara below Eshesach? Is it possible to have Eshesach, a Tzara without Eshesach? In other words, they come together. The whole concept of Tzara, as we just said a few minutes ago, was created just in order to tell you the parameters of Yibum, when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So therefore, it's not possible to conceive of Rabbi Yirmi's question being correct. Of course there's Eshesach. The concept of Tzara comes up in Eshesach. So it's a very strange discussion. And Rabbi Yirmi seems correct that Rabbi Yirmi's question doesn't start. So let me tell you a lumdus. A great lumdus here. The lum is as follows. I'm making this up as I go along, but I think it's good. The lum is as follows. We learned previously to tonight that there's a basic chakira in Hilchos Chalitza. The basic chakira in Hilchos Chalitza, which you shall be asked, is Chalitza p'tur or a kinyan? What does it mean that Chalitza is a p'tur or a kinyan? If Chalitza is a p'tur, and the related rug trouble is that it's contingent on how you learn Zika. Zika means relationship, shin yom and yavam before it. If Chalitza is a p'tur, that means there was Zika. Zika is a real thing. It's a situation of issues between the yom and yavam. Chalitza comes and takes it away, patters it up. If Chalitza is a kinyan, it means Zika is nothing. Zika is a limbo, which is an effect of the mitzvah, which they have to do either Chalitza or Yibum. But really, it's Chalitza or Yibum, which is primary, and Zika is just a limbo status till you get there. You see the difference? If Chalitza Ptur is, it ends a previous state. Chalitza is a kinyan, really, there is no state previously, except, you know, some strange, in the undefined state called Zika. But the real issue is, where are you going to do the mitzvah? And the mitzvah is expressed in one of two ways. In the mitzvah of Yibum, which is a true kinyan, or Chalitza, which is a kinyan and a release, b'vas achas. But really, the Yerushalmi describes it as Chalitza being a kinyan. Now, Rabbi Yossi before, earlier in the Masechta, and Daf Gimel and Daf Talmud Beis, Rabbi Yossi said Chalitza the Ptur. Which means, what does Rabbi Yossi hold about Zika? Rabbi Yossi holds that Zika is real, right? And that means that Rabbi Yossi holds, where does Eshesach fall off? Where you don't have a problem, Eshesach. Where there's Zika. Right? But where one of the wise was, it so was that ever, there is no Zika. Since there is no Zika, so therefore Eshesach falls off. I mean, Eshesach remains, excuse me. Again, what takes away the Eshesach issue? The fact, according to Rabbi Yossi, the fact that now you have Zika. Zika shows that there's a relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, which transcends the problem of Eshesach, eliminates it, and replaces it. And now it's almost as if she automatically became the wife of the second guy. Not quite, because you still need the Yavam to be claimed, but it's almost automatic as if she's the wife of the second guy. There is no Eshesach problem. But that's only true if there's Zika. Right? Says Rabbi, and Chalitza is a p'tur of that Zika. But in this case, where one of the co-wives, one of the tzaros was an erva, there is no Zika. So what is there when there is no Zika? When there's no Zika to supplant the previous state, the previous state remains. What was the previous state? Eshesach. So then Rabbi says, of course she's an Eshesach. What's a Shiloh? There's no question about it. But Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds Chalitza is a kinyan. I would say, Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds Chalitza is a kinyan. What does it mean, Chalitza is a kinyan? It means, until the Chalitza of the Yibum, there really was nothing. There was an amorphous state called Zika. According to him, Zika is not what we really understand Zika to be. It's just a limbo state until you get to the Chalitza or Yibum. But really, what the mitzvah of the Torah is, what gives, takes off the Eshesach, is not Zika, but is Chalitza or Yibum when it occurs. So really, until he does the Chalitza or the Yibum, she is an Eshesach. Just that then Chalitza even comes and says, okay, now she's no longer Eshesach because of the mitzvah you did in her, whether it's Chalitza or Yibum. So Shaila is, maybe Chalitza or Yibum is effective in taking off the Isser of Eshesach even if one of the co-wives is an Erva. That's really his question. In other words, he's saying again, if it's Zika, which that state, which takes off the Isser of Eshesach, so of course that doesn't apply where one of the co-wives is an Erva. But if it's not the state of Zika which does it, but rather the act of Chalitza or Yibum, it's true there's no requirement to do Chalitza or Yibum in this woman, right? Because one of the two wives is an Erva, right? One of the co-wives is an Erva. But maybe nevertheless, since it's a case which is similar to a case where a Chalitza Yibum is required, and maybe a Chalitza Yibum has some sort of effect. What effect would it have? Not the effect, of course, of being, of actually, you know, Lachim, Shem Ames, or whatever, but at least that she no longer be an Isser of Eshesach. at least not in Issacharis. Perhaps this is downgraded, and therefore he won't be chayav koris for having relations with her. So that's Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyah's question is based on some shechalitz as a kinyan. The act itself determines everything. So therefore, maybe, or an evil, of course, is a kinyan as well. So therefore, maybe if you have bia with the ishasach, and maybe that in and of itself, even though it's not permissible in this case, but maybe in and of itself, that downgrades the prohibition from ishasach to something less. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it's the zika which downgrades the ishasach iser. If there's no zika, then the ishasach iser remains in place, and therefore, of course, there's no question to ask. We mainly are going to be over ishasach no matter what. Okay. Well, Stan, I hope that was worthwhile coming for. Certainly would have made it easier for me to say that you were here. And there's a certain siyata d'shmaya which you have when more than one person is listening, what do you have to say? So that's, hopefully you rubbed off a little bit. Anyway, stop here for this evening.